from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Cody and Gold broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Q back in the studio. He's filling in for Drew. Drew expected back on Monday. I say expected. He might just like the beach and say, you know what? Another day. It is 1 o'clock hour on a Friday.
So I brought drinks if you want one.
So it's Club 610, but you guys know on the road it's a happy hour, right? It's a little toned down.
Yeah.
It's a happy hour. We've got some beers. You brought me a PBR. Thank you very much.
I do like PBR. Just a good PBR. Tall
you know what? Nothing wrong with just a PBR. So let me make sure I get the sound of that.
There you go.
There it is. There it is. Here in Friday happy hour. Why not? In St. Joe. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk about the linebackers in a second because we had Nate Taylor on and you asked him about Willie Gay and the comparison with Leo Chanel and everything. But some news just in like the sports world that I think is worth mentioning, just because if you step back and recognize what he was the start of and everything. Today was Skip Bayless' final show on FS1. And some of you are like, good, happy. I get
good riddance. He has been saying some ludicrous Mahomes stuff the last couple of years.
But back up to 12 years ago, I guess, roughly, maybe more than that. He was at FS1 for 8, and he was ESPN before. So let's say 12 to 15 years. He was kind of the first of the debate show, right? And was very successful at what he did. And then ultimately there ended up being way too many debate shows. And some of them were better than his, to say the least. And then he started getting so
outlandish that it was like the debate.
But overall, a pretty successful career, to say the least. The dude, at the time, was one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid, TV personalities in sports at one point. And, I think over the last 5 years, it's gotten worse and worse.
Sure.
But back at the beginning, it was pretty innovative, right? Like the debate format on sports TV and everything like that.
The way I view him is a lot how I personally view the band Nirvana. I don't listen to them. It doesn't like do anything for me, right? Like musically, I'm not like, wow, I just can't wait to listen to more Nirvana. But I also understand that they completely changed and invented a genre of music, which then impacted music after that and after that and after that. And that's honest to God what Skip did. You can hate what his show had turned into. You can laugh and knew that it was over when him and Shannon started to really lose it. And it got real awkward between the two of them when they had to go back on the air Gold. And it was obvious they like full-blown hated each other at that point. You can say all those. But he was a part of a defining era of ESPN. When it was PTI and Around the Horn, which changed fundamentally how some of these shows worked, and then when Skip, at that same time, started doing debate-style format television, it was different than the way TV was being
done. It was.
Done.
Now, overall, we can have a separate conversation if it was a good thing for television or whatever in general.
We're not like a debate show. You and I don't do that style of radio, so I would tell you that it's not normally for me.
But. Yeah, no, I mean, like, it was a new, a newer format, and it was very successful for a while. It still exists, but in general, to me, it's a big reason why ESPN is where it's at now, like in a negative way, by the way, in terms of where some of the programming has gone, and just the way the sports are covered and everything. You know, it became where everybody just had to have the hot takes and everything.
Yep.
And so in general, I actually think it was from a pure content perspective, I think actually wasn't a good thing long term. Short term, it was new, it was refreshing. Obviously, a lot of people made a ton of money off it. Doesn't mean that was a good thing. Just because people, including Skip, became very, very wealthy off of it.
I can make a lot of money off of insider trading. It doesn't make it good. My biggest problem with it is what it has turned into now. Like, I think when it originally started, it was debate and the healthy form of debate, like you and I have had on this show, where I truly believe something, you truly believe the other, and we argue about the differences in each other's opinion. I think that actually works. What it has turned into is the things we have to sometimes play on this show. Which is where what I think happens is 30
stuff
people
they don't even believe.
30 people sit in a room, and someone's like, someone should have this ludicrous take, and then it is thrust upon whoever. Hey, Ryan Clark, it's your job today to wear this one, right? And everybody has to go through their turn of taking the ludicrous take. And when it turned into that, it was just kind of frustrating. But it was a defining era of sports television. It was just the format changed.
But
everything changed.
It also, though, changed, though, how we talk. When we have these conversations about Brady and Mahomes and how it's all about rings, I'm not saying that nobody in the 90s were talking about rings and who had more NBA titles.
Yeah.
But it has become, because of these debate shows, though, more than ever, it is such a ring conversation only how we determine the greatest of all time. Right? The debate shows contributed to that. Of why now, unfortunately, every conversation, like, are you better than said player, is only about rings. And it got crazier when those shows started. I'm not saying nobody ever talked about rings, but I feel like it elevated it to where that's how we define
that's the
greatest.
Only, yeah. And that's not the only thing that defines. I've told you before. Patrick Mahomes finishes with 5 rings and does all these things that we keep talking about. I'm going to come on this radio show and I'm going to mean it wholeheartedly. It's not going to be debate show. He's going to be the best quarterback who ever played. Rings is not the only thing. Because if the rings is the only thing, then Brady will forever be probably the greatest of all time. Maybe not. Mahomes could still technically catch him. But then you better tell me Bill Russell's the number one basketball player of all time, and et cetera, and et cetera. You better count it for everything. It can't just be rings are the only thing that matters sometimes. Because I get it. Tom Brady, the difference is he didn't just have rings. Brady has all the other accomplishments, too. He had yardage and touchdowns, and he was efficient. You know, he's a winner.
Here we are. Now we're about to start a debate on this thing.
I know.
But this is what they started. But I don't want – all I will say real quick on just your comment on the Brady-Mahomes thing, I think you and I obviously are on different angles of this, where I have said consistently as well, I think if Mahomes finishes too short of 7, so 5,
he'll need something else.
If he gets the three-peat, then that, to me, eliminates the issue of losing head-to-head. Because to me, it's very tough for someone to argue, fast forward 15 years from now, if Mahomes is too short of Brady, lost to Brady head-to-head in a Super Bowl and an AFC title game, and didn't three-peat. If you three-peat, it balances out the not having the equal rings in the head-to-head stuff to me. So that's where it'll change.
I think it all counts when you're talking greatest of all time.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's why. But back to the...
Because otherwise, Eli Manning's better. You know, like, it's the same
back
nonsense.
To the... Yeah, but so here's where I disagree. Everybody wants to be like, well, then Eli Manning's better. No, nobody's trying to say Eli Manning's the greatest of all time. When we're having a very specific conversation, and there's such a narrow margin, you get into everything. But we weren't planning on getting... It's more we were trying to talk about Skip Bayless. And
we don't have to have this conversation for another 20 years. Mahomes actually retires.
Anyway, Skip Bayless' last show today.
What would he be? 20 years? 48. Yeah, he's going to play until he's like George Blanda.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? You think that's possible for Mahomes?
No.
Athletes have changed, dude. Bobby Stroop's got those boys.
You're right.
They
also they also make 100 times more than guys from 50 years.
They might want to keep working. Yeah. Make that 50. By the time at age 48, Mahomes would be making $130 million a year. Yeah. He might not want to turn it down.
Yeah, he'll also already have billion and a half in the bank or more.
It's also kind of hard because Tom Brady just got a broadcasting contract.
$300 million.
So it's not like Mahomes couldn't make money. There'll be other money for Patrick Mahomes to make.
But where do you think Skip goes? Does he just start his own like podcast thing or what?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you made me guess.
He's older, right?
He's not going back to – yeah, he is. He's not going back to ESPN. He's not going back to Fox Sports 1. I would guess that he ends up doing
his own thing.
Skip Bayless
he's 72
Patreon.
Years old. I mean,
he's
it's
just retire.
He's 72.
This is part of it. Just retire. Just quit. And I know that like nobody likes to go out on this. You got millions and tens of millions of dollars. You're rich. This is an out. This is an out to just spend time with you. Like, make up with your brother. Him and Rick don't get along. Make up with your brother. Maybe he'll cook you a nice meal. Make up with some family. Just quit.
Rick Bayless.
They don't get along, man.
I know. All right.
I had to teach you that once on the air. You didn't even realize that Rick Bayless and Skip Bayless were related.
Yeah.
They're brothers, dude.
Yeah.
They don't get along. They're like the Rogers brothers. They don't get along.
They got beef. Yeah, it's a whole nother level, I think.
I hope that he sort of stays in the industry, because I have a guilty pleasure of when the Cowboys are doing Cowboys things. I like to get on the old Twitter sphere and look what Skip Bayless has put out there, because it's very entertaining. So, and I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, but when the Cowboys are doing Cowboys things, like during the Packers a playoff game, like, that was just phenomenal to just watch that string of tweets coming out.
But even like, Stephen A's gotten better at the Cowboys thing. His Cowboys shtick is better.
Yeah, I mean, Skip's thing has gotten old where he's in the kitchen and he just acts like he's angry and he throws the jersey in the trash can, and it's like,
Stephen A, like, laughing, smoking the cigar is fun. No, the tweets are good. Look, he did define an era, like we talked about, of sports television,
mm-hmm.
and he created the avenue for all of these debate shows to come into play. But, yeah, I don't want to get into the deeper conversation. Mm-hmm. Overall, it was probably bad for the discourse. But I'm sure all those TV execs wouldn't go back.
He was on a 4-year, $32 million deal with Fox.
Oh, God. I'll take half. I'll leave the show for half, Gold. I'll go host the show, and I'll do it for half the amount Skip Bayless was making. I will do it, Fox.
Stephen A's making over 12 now,
I'll do it for $16 million.
Oh yeah, what a nice
maybe
guy.
Maybe eight. I might do half a half. I'll do a quarter.
Yeah.
$8 million.
Yeah.
4 years, $8 million. $2 million a year. That's all I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'll undercut that price.
How much are you gonna undercut me?
I'll take a half a mil a year. We're good to go.
Damn, you're going to cut me by a quarter.
I'll take a half a million a year. We're good to go.
Man, I'm getting ripped off.
Someone says Skip should be in a Hall of Fame of sports media. I agree. I think absolutely. He may already be in some sports Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Certainly for anyone our age, he's one of the more defining people in this era. You're not going to forget who Skip Bayless was for a while. He stands out as being that. The game tonight, the Royals and Tigers, they take each other on. It's a big game because you and I, the more and more I look at the schedule, this Tiger, Red Sox, and then the series after that one against a bad team before they take on the Phillies, this stretch of like 10 or 11 games is so important to give themselves. I think they really, really need to create a buffer. A buffer between them or the Twins, or just a buffer between them, the Twins, and the Red Sox, or just the Red Sox. They need a buffer before it's Philly, New York, the Guardians. And that whole stretch, Vern opened up my eyes to that. Last night was a perfect start to that. Bobby, Vinny, everybody was kind of going in the right direction. What are you looking at?
Oh, just a tweet about Skip.
What was it said?
Someone said Skip Bayless ended when he made a mockery of the DeMar Hamlin situation. He was very heavily criticized for that. But no, I wasn't trying to interrupt your Royals thoughts. The stretch that they're in, you're right. This particular one, before the schedule gets ultra difficult over, I think it's what, 20-something straight games or something like that, playing playoff, you know, potentially playoff teams. Yeah, that's going to be a really daunting spot, and that's where you get to the talk of, can you just be 500 in that? Well, if you're going to be 500 in that stretch, and you need to have some distance and a buffer, as you said, in these first 2.5 weeks or so of the month of August.
Yeah, I just think that they have to get wins in order to get there. Do you like Reagan tonight? Can he out-duel Scooble again? You already think they're a playoff team, right? You haven't moved off of that?
No, the Royals are making the playoffs. I've just been consistent. People said I was hating. I don't think it is. To me, I'm not worried
about the division.
I'm not talking about the division. I don't think that's all that realistic, personally.
Six with 52 to go is not crazy, but you had your chance, I thought, when it got to four. And you were within it, and then you let it get
right back in the same
seven.
Spot. A week and a half later, 2 weeks later, they didn't gain any ground.
No.
They've gained ground in the wild card. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
They've given themselves a buffer there. What are they, 2.5 games up now on the Red Sox?
Half on the Twins, and then I think two and a half on Boston. No, I think they're a playoff team for sure. We've been pretty consistent on that as well. But they're going to need, I think, in the Tigers series, I think 3 of 4. I think that's what you need. If you want to still have build the buffer you're talking about, then a Tigers team is one of the few teams that are below 500 you have remaining in August or in the schedule.
Let me ask you again about the division, since we're talking about the Royals for a minute, and you've mostly just said, let's put it on the back burner. What if they got the bullpen right? Do you give them a better chance if Hunter Harvey and Urseg are true 8th and 9th inning guys you can actually trust. And now the rest of the bullpen is thrust into the roles I would say that they should be in for this team. If that's the case, do you give them a better chance at the division? Because that's still the remaining question. I know what they are offensively, and I don't think that changed. Same players, same lineup. Paul DeJong, that didn't change anything. They're the same offense. They're the same starting rotation. They are a dominant starting rotation, and that's been the case this entire year. So if they actually got the bullpen trades right, all of a sudden they are comparable as far as team quality to the Guardians. I also think that they're better than that. You know that their run differential is already better than the 2015 season?
I didn't know that. No, I did not. I knew their run differential was right there with the Guardians or better.
Four runs better than the 2015 season. Now, there's a lot of season to go. It could technically get worse.
Fair. But. Yeah, no, I did not know about the 2015 comparison. I mean, if the bullpen and suddenly they have a closer that is consistent, then sure. But I'll point out, despite people don't want to hear it, but for a month and a half, they did have consistency, actually, with closer. He didn't like the name of the person, but he was consistent for a month.
Yeah, James McArthur was good for six straight weeks.
And they didn't gain enough ground. So it's not as simple as just like suddenly your closer doesn't blow any saves and you're just going to make up six games. It takes a lot more than that. Of course, it takes the Guardians falling off. I mean, we're looking right now. The Royals have won, 13 of 19 or something like that? Out of the last 10, was it 6-4 in the last 10, something like that? So are the Guardians, though, essentially. So that's the challenge. Like, are the Guardians falling back? The Royals can play 7 above 500 the rest of the way, which would get them in the postseason.
Oh, it would assuredly get them
but
in the postseason.
That's the Guardians, though. If the Guardians, you know, the Guardians are only 3 above 500, that's not good enough to make up the ground. Now, they play the Guardians 6 more times, right? 7 more times? 6 more times?
Maybe it is 7 because that rainout.
The rainout. I think 7. August, September. End of August, August, September. So if they're only 4 back going into those games, well, then sure. It could all, you know, that week will decide it. They cannot let it be any worse than the 6, though. Do you agree with me? Like, this thing cannot be 7.5 at the end of August and think you're just going to, you're not winning 6 against the Guardians, okay?
No.
Head to head.
You're not sweeping them in 6 consecutive games, no. No, I think that this is the number where it's still, you can entertain it, but it's not what you should worry about. The scoreboard watching you should be doing right now is, what do the Twins do tonight? What do the Red Sox do tonight? And honestly, in all fairness, what do the Yankees do tonight? They're within 4 games of the Yankees. They're 2 full games closer than the Guardians. The Guardians have the best record in the American League. That's the other part about the Guardians thing that doesn't frustrate me. The Royals are only 6 games apart from the best record in the American League. Not just in their division gold. That was the problem. We thought they'd win the division with 89 or 90 wins. We didn't think the Guardians would finish with the best record in the AL.
Right.
Well, right now they have the best record in the AL. The division is way saltier than we thought.
The wild card right now, just for those that want the numbers in front of them or whatever, you're right. I mean, the Royals are 61-49. They're a half game up on the Twins, who, of course, are 59-48. And then you have the New York Yankees, who are 65-45. That's where you're at in the top wild card spot. And then you are 2.5 clear of the Red Sox. After that, the Mariners are, 4 back?
It's pretty clear that the only team that's getting in that division is winning the division.
It's looking that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels that way.
It sure does, unless the Twins were to fall off.
The Royals and the Twins. Like, someone would have to fall off.
But, I mean, here's the challenge. Even this is why it's important the Royals are playing as good as they are right now. The Yankees have won 5 in a row. The Royals have won 4 in a row. You know, the reason why you've gained ground, of course, on the Twins, duh, the Twins have not won 5 in a row like you have. But what I'm saying is, like, otherwise, the gap would have just continued to grow. Like, the Royals, it's great that they've won 13 of 19 or whatever, like, but that was what was required during this past stretch to keep pace with the Guardians, just to stay within 6 of them, which is why I just don't think the division is realistic. And I told you guys, gladly will eat crow, gladly.
You think gold's going to be sad?
I also have financial reasons why I'll be glad if I'm wrong.
So. Yeah, but I can't imagine you'd feel all that bad walking in this morning.
Hell no.
Be like, oh man, guys, I was wrong. The Royals won the division.
The Yankees, by the way, are playing Toronto tonight while the Royals are playing the Tigers. The Orioles are playing Cleveland. So that's the good news. You just want the Orioles to beat up on the Guardians this weekend.
Yep. And now I'm looking at I was like looking ahead. I was like, I know what the Royals finished with in September. I'm like, what's the end of the season for the Twins look like? Starting September 16th, here's the Twins' final schedule. 4 games on the road against Cleveland. 3 games on the road against Boston. That's tough. 3 against the Marlins. That's dubs. And then they finish with 3 at home against Baltimore. Their last, if you are 2 games behind the final wild card spot and that team's the Twins, September 16th, I wouldn't rule yourself out. You'd have gotten through the most difficult part of your schedule, and they're getting ready to face Murderers Row.
Hopefully the Orioles haven't clinched the AL East yet,
The truth is...
Right, in that scenario?
Yeah. The truth is, I think this is coming down to the final week. I do not we will know if the Royals are for sure in a playoff spot until September 29th. Like, I think it's coming down to it. Now, I hate the pressure of if it comes down to the final damn game of the season, and we essentially got to live a playoff game a few times in a row.
I mean, that'd be fun, too.
But, yeah. You know.
No, I mean, wild card, it's pretty rare for anybody to clinch a wild card spot 2 weeks to go in the season.
The top wild card spot wouldn't be crazy for the
Yankees or somebody.
Yeah, it wouldn't be crazy to be like,
but
maybe it's not clinched right, like by that standard goal. But if they had the Yankees lead, if they had six games on the third wild card team, that's a lot 2 weeks to go. They're going to be in the postseason. It's just a matter of, you know, where are they going to land in the postseason run? I would consider that a lock, even if it's not, you know, technically they could lose six straight, you know, whatever it is. I just don't think the Royals will even be in that position, if we're being honest. You had said that Nate Taylor disagreed with me a little bit, and he did to a point, because I told you I am not worried about the absence of Willie Gay at all, because I think Leo Chanel is a breakout player for the Chiefs. Now, he said he doesn't think he's as athletic as Willie Gay, and that's fine. We can differ a little bit on that. But something he said only reassured my confidence. He said Mike Dana went out of his way to tell you that Leo Chanel was coming and that you better be prepared that he is coming, because he just looks like the kind of player that might fit this scheme perfectly. Year three is typically the year where defensive players who have only gotten to play a limited number of snaps get to thrive. They used him perfectly in the postseason. He just feels like he's ripe for a big season. I think it's going to be an improvement over what they got out of Willie Gay last year.
Because of the scheme fit, that's the path. You know, I still don't think it's fair to act like Willie Gay Jr. wasn't.
I don't think he wasn't athletic. I told you I thought he's their most athletic linebacker.
You know, sideline to sideline, the best since Derek Johnson.
Yeah, he's fast.
And I know there were other issues with coverage or whatever, but from a speed standpoint, we hadn't seen that since Derek Johnson.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty high bar, because Derek Johnson was an incredible linebacker for this organization for a long time. Chanel is exciting in the blitz game. The scheme fit there. That's what's exciting and could be different. And the physicality and just like more of it, like even old school kind of just football linebacker. That's what's kind of exciting. Plus the athleticism that you mentioned. So hey, I don't think there's a huge drop off, but I don't know if it's, you know, fair to just flat out say like they're just going to be much better. I think they're going to be much better because of the entire linebacking unit, where Nick Bolton is back again. Hopefully with this elbow injury, he's going to be fine. Nate seemed to think that it's maybe a couple days more.
He didn't make it sound like it was 2 weeks.
And then Drew Tranquil, going into the season, last year he was brand new. He wasn't getting as much playing time. It increased as the year went on. He turned out to be really good for this team. Now he is clearly a starting linebacker for them. There's no debate. Remember, he got a lot of more playing time when Nick Bolden was hurt last year. And that's the other part. You know, we talk about depth in other areas. You know, where are you on that? You know, we talk about depth at other positions, but last year Nick Bolton missed a good amount of time. If he were to go down, or any of the other linebackers go down, who's behind them? Who's the next crop? Because last year the next crop was Tranquil or Chanel.
Yeah.
When there was, if one of the linebackers go down, that's where it's a little trickier than a year ago.
Yeah, it's tougher. The guy who was on with us yesterday, I guess.
Cochran's
right?
One of them.
Jack Cochran. I mean, he played in 17 games last year. He didn't play a lot.
Yeah.
But he played in 17 games last year, so I mean,
I think they're better, assuming health, like any area. I think they're just better as, you know, Drew Tranquil being there for the full season also elevates. Like, being the starter for the full also elevates the group.
Yeah, because when it all shook out, it turned out Drew Tranquil should have been in the starting lineup the entire time. And the issue they had is that they had too many cooks in the kitchen. They had a lot of linebackers and too much depth to justify playing Drew Tranquil all the time. And what's weird, though, is Tranquil and Bolton kind of do the same. Like, they can do the same thing in the center of the defense, which makes me wonder, going back to that comment from Nick Bolton, who said, I'll talk about my contract after the season, and they just gave Tranquil that extension? Maybe they were just hedging their bet anyway. Maybe, because you and I both think that the chances of Bolton getting a contract are way down after he made those comments, and it seems like he's definitely not getting an extension in the final year of his deal. Maybe Tranquil was the insurance for that, and they're going to try to fix their linebacker crew, build it back up. But that's also why I have faith in Chanel. If they're already considering, if Bolton's already thinking he might be gone from Kansas City at the end of this, well, then the Chiefs are probably kind of indicating that in a contractual situation, in which case they believe in Tranquil because they gave him the contract extension. But that also means, Gold, that they believe in Leo Chanel. They believe in the guy behind the guy, the same as they've done at corner, right? Same as they've done with Connor or Cook at safety, right? With all these guys that they've let Ward and Steed and these other guys go. Sorry, I got real windy.
It is,
up here,
yeah. It's a little windy.
I was trying to, like, turn my face. I'm sorry. It's not working.
We're inside the Comcast business tent powering possibilities. I'll be honest, though. It feels great outside with the breeze.
This is the nicest day we've had at camp since day one.
Yeah, no, it does. It feels good. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, we had Trent McDuffie, Chiefs starting corner, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, join us. We talked to him about expectations here in year number three. Plus, got to know him a little bit. We'll do that next here on Code Eagle.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
One on What's Trending. We continue broadcasting here in St. Joe. Practice number 11 for the Chiefs. A little over a week away, a week from tomorrow, the first preseason game for Kansas City. A couple injury updates today. Kingsley Suamatia got a bunch of the first team reps again and seems to have that inside track for the number one job, especially now that Wanya Morris had to leave practice due to what they're calling a left shoulder issue of some sort. He was taken up in a cart. Now he was in the front of the cart, but we'll find out the severity of that when they return to practice on Sunday. Still no Nick Bolton or Kadarius Toney today. Also, Kelvin Joseph did not practice. On a more positive end, Jalen Watson was back practicing in pads, although he had the yellow or gold jersey on, which means that you can't really have any physical contact with him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for that. I will say, George Karlaftis spoke to the media earlier and gives glowing praise of Kingsley Suamataia. Said he was doing a very good job at left tackle and has made the job difficult for them early on. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals were winners last night. 7-1, Bobby Witt Jr. hit a home run, went 2-for-4 with a double and a jack. Vinny Pasquantino hit two home runs himself. And Seth Lugo was once again dominant. It's funny, he had a bad start right before the All-Star game, came back, dominated, had another bad start, I thought, where he gave up five earned runs or four earned runs in which he left the bases loaded before Sam Long hit it, and then came back out and dominated. So he's been a little less consistent, but obviously those great games still very much there for Seth Lugo. They'll take on the Tigers in game two of that four-game series tonight. 5:40 on Apple TV+. It'll be Cole Reagans versus Tarik Skubal.
Great matchup.
Look, I mean, that's ace versus ace. Can't get much better than that from a pitching matchup.
Next up on What's Trending, we were talking about at the start of the hour, some news in the sports media world. Skip Bayless announcing today was his final show on FS1 with Undisputed. So he is, I don't want to say retiring, but he's leaving FS1, might do some other media stuff, but huge news in the media world. And I think you said it, you were right. Like, ever since Shannon Sharp left that show, it continued to go downhill.
Yeah, that was when it got awkward, if you remember. It was just like, I don't remember what the circumstances were, but Skip said something. I don't know if it was raised, but it was like, something a bit controversial between the two of them.
Well, no, Skip,
and then they went
Skip
back
called
the show
him out.
And it got really weird.
I think Skip basically was calling him out not being a Hall of Famer or something. You know, like yeah. it was something like that.
It got uncomfortable. I'll just say that it definitely got uncomfortable. Next up on What's Trending, the official Olympic medal count. If you're curious, on the U.S. men's soccer team, they ended up getting knocked out by Morocco. I did see some things where it's like it's good to know what you can and need on the international stage to figure out what you need to improve on to do it, but. God, they have just been such a mess as a unit across the board. But currently leading the way with gold medals is China with 13 overall. The U.S. currently with the most medals at 41. They've got the second most golds at 9. Won a couple more swimming ones last night. Obviously, during our show yesterday, Simone Biles won the individual. And then we got a bronze medal, of course, from Suni Lee.
She still has a couple more events, too. Individual events. And then we're now that swimming, it's weird. It's already a week and a half or a week into the Olympics, which means we're technically like halfway through some of the events. We're about to start getting a bunch of the track and field events.
Sha'Carri Richardson and some others. But by the way, as a heads up, because the Olympics are on NBC, and that's normally where you would catch Chiefs preseason games, their preseason game in a week, it won't be on NBC. It'll be on 38 The Spot.
And 106.5 The Wolf.
Correct. If you just wanted to watch it.
I'm guessing that's big NBC saying, hey, we don't care what you have. Moving the Olympics.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. You're not bumping us for the Olympics. They had 32 million people that have watched it so far or something.
Yeah, it's another example of, like, people said they weren't going to watch, and here they are. Ratings are great. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Trent McDuffie, Chiefs starting corner, joined us after practice. We hadn't talked to Trent in a couple of years. That's how we started our conversation. Amazing to fast forward a little bit to what he's accomplished now. Here was our conversation.
I'm grateful to be back, but shoot, it feels like it was rookie year just like 2 weeks ago. So things come quick, that's for sure.
Yeah, they start looking to you instead, right? You're like, wait, I'm in charge now? I don't know about that. Well, especially with like Snead leaving and stuff like that, there is like leadership in certain groups. Do you 100%. Take on a lot of that with the corner group?
Yeah, I think honestly this year has been a chance for me to really step out of my shell, you know what I mean, and bring in these young guys, bring in these new guys that have no idea what Chiefs is about, you know what I mean? The standard we've set the past 2 years, going back-to-back, trying to go for a third. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of eyes on who we are, and being able to be a guy that just says, you know what, block out that outside noise, block out everything before you came here, like, this is what it's about, follow my lead, and we're going to be all right.
Is it weird not having LJ back there, though?
Yeah, I love LJ. I mean, I think everybody knows me. LJ came really tight last year, but... I mean, I'm super happy for him, what he has going on. I mean, his new journey, I'm super stoked for him. And I think this just allows, like I said, for me and just other guys to come in and show Chiefs Kingdom what we're about.
Spags was talking about the unit the other day, and at the podium he said, Trent McDuffie knows he doesn't have an interception. He is aware 100%. That he's still seeking the first one. Why is it so important for you to that start becoming your game? Because obviously the fumbles are there.
Yeah.
You're forcing some important turnovers still, and those count the same. Why the interception so important?
Man, I think a big thing, and I know Coach Spags harps on this all the time, is turnovers. And, yeah, fumbles are great, but I feel like for my position, in order for me to make a game-changing play, in order for me to – do something different on the defense that it really sets up our offense, that's interceptions. And I think that goes for momentum changes. I think that goes for, running it back for pick six. I mean, for me, that's just something that, I mean, each and every day I'm working, every day trying to do, telling Pat, yo, just throw me the ball. Like, I really want to work on trying to get my hands on that ball.
He said the other day that he didn't even test you that much. It's the same as regular quarterbacks. Man, he's like, it's not worth the work.
Right.
You're making it too hard on quarterback. You got to tempt him into throwing.
Yeah, you know, I be trying to bait Pat. It's hard baiting Patrick Mahomes. I'll tell you that because he knows our defense. But every now and again, whenever I'm able to, you know, get a ball against him, it's always great. That's why I love one-on-one so much. I mean, you know that you're going to get a great play on the ball.
To that point, though, in season, we were talking that at times the interceptions, how much is it that guys just aren't throwing your way, man? You're kind of locking things down, and so they're not even trying to test you. I mean, is that frustrating, but also is that you get satisfaction out of that, knowing they don't even want to throw your way?
Yeah, you know, it's a little happy medium, you know what I mean? I think one part, I'm doing my job right. Nobody wants to throw me the ball, but on the other side, I mean, when they do throw me the ball, I feel like any chance I do get where the ball comes my way, that should be a pick. So just trying to find that balance of not trying to be too hard on myself, doing my job, but also being like, like, you're a ball player. Go make those plays.
We don't want to be offended for you, but we were watching the NFL Top 100. your exclusion seems of note. Like, what did you think about when you see, like, your peers recognize you as an all-pro in a year where, you know, like, maybe the interceptions aren't there. They might look towards that.
Right.
Is it hard to, like, keep fighting for those things? Do you find motivation in those things, like, if you're being excluded off of this list or that list?
Honestly, no. Not at all. I could honestly care less what anybody outside of people on my team, people in my community, people in my family really care. And, I mean, yeah, you could say it could be motivation. You know, you want to be top whatever, top this and that, but man, at the end of the day, if I'm out there doing my job and we're winning football games, that's all I really care about.
We got Trent McDuffie joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. You mentioned community. I'll back up again. 2 years ago, you were still trying to get used to KC. I think with the Chiefs in-house video department, you went to Q39. You were trying a bunch of barbecue and everything. Now you're settling in the KC. So overall, what's the biggest thing you learned, or maybe you didn't know when you were here 2 years ago?
Man, just the people. I mean, I said this 2 years ago, coming from West Coast, you know, California, big state, L.A., you know, not everybody knows everybody. But out here, I mean, shoot, when I talk about just genuine love, you know what I mean, about a community who cares, who supports, who is there when you're down and there when you're up, I mean, just being a part of this community has just taught me so much in terms of just patience and also just giving back, you know what I mean? Everybody's so supportive here, so being able to just come out here and sign autographs, I mean, take pictures with fans, I mean, just allowing them to be a part of this football team that they love so much, it's special. It's really unique.
So fans, we always give them a chance to be like, hey, what do you guys want to hear from Trent McDuffie? One of the questions we got asked by a lot of people is, just how fast is Xavier Worthy? You've been up against Tyreek and others. Where does he rank among some of the fastest guys you've played against?
He's up there. I mean, you know, Tyreek, but if you don't put your hands on Xavier Worthy, that boy is gone. There's no catching up. I'll say that much.
It just feels like they've made a real point of trying to go deep. And that wasn't easy against this defense last year.
100%.
So do you guys take that as, like, that challenge too? Because that was something you guys did well. You made people earn it the way their offense made them earn it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, we've talked about that a lot, especially on the back end. Like, you look at that offense, you got 4-2, 4-3, 4-2, 4-3. You got guys who are rolling, and you got 1-5 back there who can make any throw on the field. So coming out here first couple of days when you just seen Pat just launching the ball, we're like, okay, whoa. Slow down. Like, let's get back to our basics. Like, let's do what we do on the back end and just let everything else sort out. So I think it's been a great challenge, but also it's something that we love. You know what I mean? You're not going to get any better work than what we're having right now against this offense.
We know you're a Washington guy. You play for the Huskies, and also something that changed quickly in 2 years. If I would have told you 2 years ago you guys be in the Big Ten,
right?
You would know, what are you talking about?
Crazy.
What are you talking about?
Sense.
What are you making the move?
Oh, man, I'm excited. You know what I mean? I think the college football playoff expansion's good. And I just think being able to put UW on the map like that is going to be huge. I mean, we've had great competition in the Pac-12, but being able to go against guys in the Big 12, Big 10?
Yeah, Big 10. Big 10. Yeah.
Man, you got some great schools over there. So just that competition and just seeing how guys play out, you know what I mean? That West Coast, the East Coast, all those flights, everything like that, that's going to be a big part of it. So be able to see guys adjust and compete, I think it's going to be really exciting.
Do you wish you were there for the heyday of NIL?
No,
I'm don't want to deal with that.
I'm good with that. I mean, I was there the first year NIL came out, and I was like, you know what? I'm just chill. I don't know any of the rules. I don't want to get caught up in it. Like, I was gonna make my money in the league.
Okay, so we're talking to Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs corner here. We always do a little like internet snooping, trying to get to know you.
Yeah.
What are the things you do outside of football? The only thing I ever see you post about is football. Are you a big reader? Do you work on what do you do outside of the game?
Big reader for sure. Love movies. I mean, sure, I'm always at the movie theaters. I was at the movie theaters last
time. Were you watching Deadpool or something?
Yep, Deadpool.
Okay, I want to go see it.
It was good. I thought it was really funny. I'm a Deadpool fan, so I really enjoyed it. And see Wolverine come back, I mean, it was legendary. But man, movies, reading, hanging out with the family, play a little bit of the piano. I mean, I'm one of those guys who's in the house, you know what I mean? I don't really go out. When I get an off day, I'm like, let me come chill, let me just relax, kick the feet up. So anything that I can do that I can just relax and chill, I mean, I'm really with that.
I think off-season would be the stir-crazy time, you know?
Yeah,
that's when
definitely.
You're like, I got to find some more things to
100%.
Do. 100%.
That's when my mind starts going a little crazy because I'm like, oh, wait, I can't just sit in the house for 2 months. You know what I mean? Let me get outside.
We saw one of your teammates, Hollywood Brown, has a new sandwich over at Q39. It's called the Hollywood Rib Sandwich. I don't know if you've seen this.
I think
So the question is, what's the sandwich for you if you had one created, and what's the name? But this is the sandwich, I guess, that he's got going.
Okay, that actually looks fire.
Yeah, it does look good.
See, I'm a big burnt end fan, so I gotta have burnt ends on mine. I'm not a pickles fan, but everybody I know loves pickles. So for y'all, I'll put the pickles on there. Hella barbecue sauce. And that's pretty simple. You know what I mean?
How spicy do you like? You like a little spicy barbecue?
Yeah, definitely spicy barbecue. Okay. Yeah, definitely hot sauce, spicy barbecue, that kind of stuff. Get your mouth burning. But something simple that you can just grub, eat any day, anytime.
Appreciate it. Trent McDuffie, Chiefs corner, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Good to have you on the show, man. Best of luck.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go.
Good
Trent. So that was Trent McDuffie a little bit earlier today. Joining us here inside the Comcast business tent. Now, a reminder, our guests here with Chiefs players through our interviews with Chiefs players throughout Chiefs camp are brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. Interceptions, man. That's the thing to watch. I think we said it last year.
Turnovers
are
big.
Another year to be an all-pro without a pick, and it's something that he's focused in on. And think about how much better the season can even be. That's like the next step for him, and he's already one of the best corners in the league.
Yeah, it's like the only remaining thing that you could even slightly complain about if you wanted to about McDuffie. Hey, do you mind getting a pick or two? He's not throwing out that much. Here's the problem. Some of the guys who finish with 2, 3, 4, 5 picks in a season, they might have 80 chances to get one gold based on how many passes are thrown their way. What's he get, 20? Like, yeah. If that's the ratio, he might get a quarter, a half, a third of what other corners get at being thrown at for a chance at an actual interception. But you heard him. This is the right approach. He's like, anytime a ball is thrown near me, that's a chance to get an interception. I have to convert the ones where I'm just knocking it away, or I just have good coverage, or I make it hard for them to catch. Sometimes I have to catch those passes. It's the only remaining part of his game. He's done fine with the fumbles. He ripped it away from Tyreek last year in an incredibly important moment.
Yeah, you also said that Xavier Worthy, he's up there when it comes to speed, at least, with Tyreek Hill. He's a Tyreek's Tyreek, but he said he's up there. And you got to make sure you put some hands on Xavier Worthy, or he is blowing by you, and that's going to be fun to watch, hopefully, a few times.
McDuffie's not slow
in the regular season.
If he's smashed you, it's over.
It's good. It's honestly even better work for McDuffie to now have all that speed in the wide receiver room again. You know, to have somebody like Worthy and Hollywood Brown that can stretch the field, because you know that's what the whole league is about now. So
yeah, it is.
Having that is a good thing. And when it comes to the food stuff, the best suggestion we had on the McDuffie future sandwich or something, since Hollywood Brown has his own now, was the
pick six.
The pick six.
Because he already
pick
has bread, things. Burnt ends, pickles, and sauce. So if we could just get like a crispy onion straw, more like, you know, like almost like a Z-Man, you know, like two more ingredients gold or an aioli, and the pick six is made. We just need two ingredients on top of the four things he listed, and we can get him the pick six at, I don't know, some local barbecue joint. Hollywood Brown's is at Q39. Zarda has one with Hunter Renfro. So, you know, Jack Stack or Joe's or Scott's Kitchen, there's a million barbecue places. I mean, I could list 40 more if you guys really want. But,
yeah.
Just some place, if they want the pick six, I think two more ingredients, and we have Trent McDuffie's sandwich made. It's just that it's got to include burnt ends, which, by the way, he's right. Yeah. Burnt ends are my favorite. Of all barbecue that's available to eat in the city,
it's Kansas City things.
I want burnt ends. Matter of fact, the burnt end Z-Man to Joe's is my single favorite sandwich in the entire city from a barbecue perspective. On Wednesdays, you can get a burnt end Z-Man, not just a regular.
Each place has its own thing, man. Each place, whether it's a side, whether it's a certain sandwich, whether the ribs are a little better, each place has got something. Somebody on the text line said, hey, Trent McDuffie plays in the slot on a team that plays cover 2 and 5. He has help everywhere. So for the hater texting in, he's also going to be playing outside this year since Snead isn't around. But that guy was also upset earlier about us talking Royals. He's just in a negative mood. He's got multiple texts today, just hate being a hater today. I don't know why. It's a Friday. Feel good, man.
I'm sorry. Friday. He's an all-pro. What is there exactly? What are you hating on? That he did the jump? This is one thing I do not understand that happens consistently in sports, what this guy did, which is, when someone is asked to have a specific job and then they do that job incredibly well and they're like, do it better. That'd be like getting mad at that male gymnast who was a specialist and his only job was pummel horse. That man slacked off the rest of the time, Gold. He didn't do uneven bars. He didn't do a floor routine. He didn't do jack. That man, Steven, sat around until it was his job to do the pummel horse, and then he crushed it. I don't care if that's your only job. If James Winchester's only job is to snap the ball well when he's a long snapper, crush that responsibility and we're good. Anything Trent McDuffie has been asked to do on a football field, other than, I guess at this point, get an interception, he has done phenomenally. I have absolutely zero complaints about the job Trent McDuffie is doing.
Someone on the text line said, hey, if we'll eat all the burn-ins, they will make all the burn-ins we want if we'll eat it during Club 610.
Wait, who's offering this?
Just like someone from a local restaurant.
Oh.
On the text line.
I don't have the text line pulled up.
Yep.
Oh.
It's a local restaurant. I know exactly where it's at.
So if we eat them during Club 610, do I have to eat all of them? Is that what they said?
No, they just said they'll bring as many burn as we want if we eat them.
Sold.
Where are we? When is our next in-studio Club 610? Next Friday? Are we out here next Friday?
No, next Friday or the Friday after. Either of those should probably work. Yeah. Maybe give ourselves an extra Friday.
I know who it is. We'll be in touch.
You got a phone number?
I know who it is. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
I know who it is.
Well, no, so do you. Yeah. We'll be in touch.
Can you make sure I'm producing the show when this goes down?
Maybe you got to stop in that day, you know?
Yeah, you could be a guest at Club 610 instead of the person running the board.
I am in the building next Friday.
You are missing out on Club 610s because, you know, Gold and I are still at least drinking a beer out here in the sun like true Americans. You're just stuck back in the studio with no drink.
You guys have never invited me to a Club 610. I'm always working during Club 610. I've never been a guest.
Man. Yeah. You know what? We can remedy that. You can come in sometime.
Yeah, why not?
We can remedy that. I guess we did have JT in once.
We did.
But he got railroaded. JT got...
Is that weird? Is it there were
puppies, and there was a lot going on. Was that
No, we had the... one. Now, not, she's not the president anymore, but the president of the
Casey
Curran at the time.
That's right. Yeah, we had the president of the Casey Curran in. We got to do that again. Once their season's over, see if we can get a couple of the players in. They all live in town.
Yeah, last night they had a game. I ended up not going. We ended up giving away tickets.
They won 3-1
on Twitter. They won. Yeah, I just gave away some tickets last night. I was after being out here all day. Frankly, I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go to the.
Did the person who took your tickets appreciate them?
They did. Yeah, I think they were thrilled. They got hooked up too. It's pretty good, man. They got parking alone is like a $50 value, so they got hooked up. Yeah, I offered it to you. You were busy. You had
some other
things.
I had some daughter.
But, no, current games are a blast, man. They're very hot out there right now, but current games are a lot of fun.
When I leave here today, I got to go. My daughter's been in acting camp.
Well, at least maybe she'll finally get in a Hallmark movie since you can't. Maybe Ruby will get in a Hallmark movie in the future.
She might one day, but she has her showcase where they showcase the skills they learned.
Ooh.
It's not like a full-blown play. They don't do that, but like.
Did you take the class too?
They showcase the skills they learned. No, I did not take the class. I've been in many plays. I've been in many things over the years, just not in a Hallmark movie. Now my new goal is to be into something better than that. I'm going to get in like a real music video. Is that better than a Hallmark movie? Probably not.
I don't know.
It's at least on par, depending on the artist. If I can get in Tech N9ne's next video, that's just as good as being in a Hallmark movie.
That would be pretty funny.
New goal.
The Hallmark movie, though, I mean, video. Hallmark movie, I think it's supposed to come out the week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, we'll do something with the show. Don't worry about that.
It's going to be fun.
The show's proud of you, you know?
We'll be fun to. And then, either way, it's funny. I told you, there's one scene that there's no way they could have cut out. Doesn't mean I'll be visible, but I know it's a scene they can't cut out, if that makes sense. Like, the scene definitely has to happen.
The question is, how do they frame it?
Yes. And do you see a corner of my face? Do you see the back of my head?
Do you see the whole side profile?
Who knows? Do you see me, you know, pretending to have a conversation walking down the street?
It could be anything. We'll never know.
I don't know either. We're gonna find out.
We'll all find out together, unless they give you an advanced screener. We'll all find out together, Gold. That's what matters here. You made it, man.
Someone says Charbar already had the McDuff sandwich.
Oh. Oh, we're missing out.
I would have thought Trent would have mentioned that.
You would have thought he would have brought that up.
I'm like, oh, by the way, actually, it would have been funny if he's like, I had a sandwich. I don't know. Is that true? I know Charbar's where he went because that was the video I was referencing from his rookie season, but I don't know. No, the gentleman that texted in owns a local barbecue catering company. They do some barbecue contests in the area. That's who was offering to bring up some future barbecue.
So we're
going to take you up on that at some point. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to say no. Now I'm trying to look up the sandwich for...
Wait, the one from McDuffie, the old one?
I want to know the old Hollywood one, or the McDuffie one. Now, I'll figure it out later.
I don't know if they did a full-blown...
I don't know if they did a
full-blown campaign, right?
Oh, okay. I do remember him shooting a video at
He said he did say in an older article, like he did with us, he said he's partial to the burn-ins at Charbar. That's what McDuffie said then at the time.
Okay. It's been 3 years or 2 years since we had McDuffie on. It's hard for me to remember after all that time. You gonna go hit the sled after you get some work in?
Yeah. I'm gonna actually go like Matt Araiza. I'm gonna run on the field, take my shirt off, and I'm gonna get a good lather. You know, I'm gonna get good
some
lather.
Work in
I'm gonna do some sprints. There'll be someone else. You think they'll mistake me for a football player, Cody? You know, shirt off, running some laps. I'm sure they'll think the same thing you did about Matt Araiza.
Totally.
Anyway, hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks to Q producing the show back in KC.
Thanks, Q.
We're back at it Monday. We'll actually be in studio on Monday.
So, change of plans.
We'll have Drew back as well. We'll see how his trip went. Hope you guys have a great weekend.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.